Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Grant and Sherman: The Friendship That Won the Civil War by Charles Braceland Flood is a popular Civil War history and dual biography focused on Ulysses S. Grant and William Tecumseh Sherman. Rather than treating the Union victory only as a sequence of battles, commands, and political decisions, Flood examines how a durable personal and professional bond helped two very different soldiers operate with unusual trust. The book follows their pre-war obscurity, their wartime rise, the emergence of their cooperation at Shiloh, and their later roles in shaping Union strategy during the final phases of the conflict. Its purpose is not to replace full biographies of either man, but to explain how their complementary temperaments, direct communication, and mutual confidence reduced friction inside the Union High Command. Written for general readers as well as Civil War enthusiasts, the book combines battlefield narrative, character study, and leadership analysis in an accessible historical account. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Shiloh as the turning point in Grant and Sherman cooperation. Flood presents the Battle of Shiloh as more than an important Union victory. It becomes the setting in which Grant and Sherman began to recognize each other as reliable partners under extreme pressure. Before the battle, both men carried reputational burdens. Grant was still vulnerable to criticism from earlier controversies, while Sherman had been judged by some contemporaries as unstable or too anxious about Confederate strength. Shiloh exposed both men to intense danger, confusion, and public scrutiny, but it also revealed their shared capacity to continue fighting after severe setbacks. Flood uses this episode to show why battlefield trust could not be manufactured through rank alone. Sherman saw in Grant a commander who did not collapse under surprise, casualties, or political criticism. Grant saw in Sherman a subordinate who could absorb punishment, adapt, and remain useful in command. The book therefore treats Shiloh as the origin of a working relationship built on tested conduct rather than sentiment. This interpretation gives the battle a personal dimension without denying its strategic importance in the Western theater. Secondly, complementary temperaments that strengthen Union command. A central argument of the book is that Grant and Sherman succeeded together partly because their personalities and command habits offset each other. Grant is portrayed as steady, concise, persistent, and unusually resistant to panic. Sherman appears more volatile, intellectually restless, and at times emotionally intense, but also imaginative and energetic. Flood does not reduce either man to a simple type. Instead, he shows how their differences became useful inside a relationship grounded in confidence. Sherman needed a superior who trusted his judgment and gave him room to act. Grant needed subordinates who could translate broad strategic aims into aggressive movement across difficult terrain. Their friendship mattered because it supported military efficiency. Sherman could speak candidly to Grant without fearing immediate political maneuvering, and Grant could depend on Sherman without micromanaging him. This helped avoid a recurring Union problem: generals undermining one another, hesitating under pressure, or appealing to Washington when disagreements arose. Flood frames their partnership as an example of how personal trust can create operational clarity in a large and politically sensitive army. Thirdly, daily communication and shared strategy in the final phase of the war. Flood emphasizes that the Grant-Sherman bond was not merely emotional or symbolic. It had practical consequences in the way Union strategy developed, especially after Grant assumed broader command responsibilities. Even when separated geographically, the two men maintained close communication and increasingly understood the war in similar terms. The book highlights their shared commitment to coordinated pressure against Confederate armies and resources, rather than isolated victories that left the enemy able to recover elsewhere. Sherman, operating in the Western and later Southern campaigns, could act with confidence because he understood the larger strategic direction Grant wanted. Grant, in turn, could focus on Lee and the Virginia theater while trusting Sherman to prosecute campaigns that damaged Confederate capacity and morale. Flood presents this communication as a form of strategic synchronization rare among Civil War commanders. The significance lies not only in friendship, but in aligned assumptions about how the war had to be won. Their relationship helped connect distant theaters into a more coherent Union effort, reducing delays and rivalries that had weakened earlier command structures. Fourthly, from pre-war failure to historical stature through mutual reinforcement, one of the book's distinctive features is its attention to the pre-war disappointments of both men. Grant had struggled in civilian life after leaving the army, and Sherman had experienced professional instability before the war. Flood uses these backgrounds to explain why their wartime success was not inevitable and why recognition from each other mattered. Their friendship developed between men who knew failure, public embarrassment, and uncertainty. This made their later confidence in one another more meaningful. Sherman found in Grant a commander whose calmness could steady his own doubts, while Grant found in Sherman a talented officer who accepted subordination without surrendering initiative. Flood suggests that their relationship helped each man become more effective than he might have been in isolation. This does not mean friendship alone transformed them into great commanders. Rather, the book argues that mutual reinforcement allowed their abilities to emerge under conditions that often destroyed reputations. By tracing their rise from obscurity to national prominence, Flood adds a human dimension to military history and shows how institutional success can depend on personal resilience. Lastly, the book's interpretive strength and its limits as a Civil War synthesis. Flood gives the Civil War a focused interpretive lens by placing the Grant-Sherman friendship at the center of the Union victory story. This makes the book accessible and coherent, but it also creates limits. The subtitle suggests a strong causal claim, and some readers may find that the friendship is better understood as one major factor among many rather than the single reason the Union won. Industrial capacity, manpower, naval power, political leadership, emancipation, Confederate weaknesses, and the performance of other Union commanders also shaped the outcome. Because the book combines dual biography, military narrative, and broad war history, it cannot provide the depth found in specialized biographies of Grant or Sherman or in campaign studies. Its value lies in synthesis and emphasis. Flood shows how a specific relationship reduced command friction and improved strategic execution. The limitation is that such a lens necessarily selects episodes that support the central theme. Readers should therefore approach the book as a persuasive relational history, not as a comprehensive account of the entire war or definitive biography of either general. In conclusion, Grant and Sherman is best suited for readers who want Civil War history centered on human relationships rather than only battlefield maneuvers or political chronology. It will appeal to general readers, military history enthusiasts, students of leadership, and anyone interested in how trust operates inside large institutions under pressure. The practical benefit of the book is its demonstration that effective command depends not only on formal authority, but also on credibility, communication, and the willingness of strong personalities to cooperate without constant rivalry. Intellectually, it encourages readers to see historical outcomes as shaped by relationships, as well as by resources and plans. Compared with full biographies of Grant or Sherman, Flood offers less exhaustive coverage of either life, but he provides a clearer account of the partnership between them. Compared with broad Civil War surveys, the book stands out by narrowing attention to the personal mechanism that helped Union strategy become more coordinated. Its most distinctive contribution is the argument that friendship, when joined to competence and shared purpose, can have strategic consequences. Readers seeking a complete military history should supplement it, but readers seeking a focused and readable study of collaboration will find it especially valuable. If you would like to support Charles Braceland Flood, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.